We're going to share communion together. If there are those of you with babies and toddlers, there will be a creche on this morning. If there's slightly older children and you need some toys for them, or you need some paper, preferably some paper and colouring, which would be great, they can come back in, you can come back in. That will be available. You can find those over in the side hall. I think you know where to go. If you don't, somebody will help you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll take up the reading from verse 25, reading from the New International Version. In my Bible, that's page 1422, which is of no help for you at all. Somebody with a black church Bible, has anybody got a black church Bible, can tell me what number that's on?
1504,
lovely, thank you. 1504 in the black church Bible. This is the words of our Lord. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And they all said amen to that bit. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So how are we going to cope with the trouble of each day? As we go into this year, what are we going to do? Well, let's hear the word of the Lord to us this morning. I want to focus on those the words in verse 33 where it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I prepared this sermon before Christmas, and then, you know, the thought is, and it seems ages ago, that I was last here. The Sunday before Christmas with the nativity with the little children was the last time I was here. It's only a fortnight, yet so much seems to have happened since then. And we've been in church for different things, but I prepared that before we did that little service with the children, and my mind was thinking about the coming of Jesus. And now here we are, only a fortnight on, and it's like the Christmas decorations are pretty much down. We're kind of, Christmas is done, and most of us are back to work, or we've gone back to work, or we'll be back at work this week, and it's back to normal. So what was it all about? We might say this morning, the King has come. So what? And that's really the thought this morning. The King has come, so now what? We've had Christmas. The King has been born. Jesus has lived and died and risen again, and has ascended into heaven. So what now? What do we do? How does that, what difference does it make to us as we stand on the threshold of this year with all its uncertainty spread out before us? What does the fact that that Jesus has come mean to us? How does it affect our lives as we move forward into this coming year? Well, in reality, it's business as usual. In one sense, nothing has changed because we've moved into another year. And yet, because we're human, because we have our times and seasons and we have our calendars, we do put important things on them. Therefore, it's appropriate for us to think, what do we do? Well, I want to suggest to you that there is no greater thing than what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, which comes then with this wonderful promise, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Our priority as individual followers of Jesus, our priority as a church together, is to seek his kingdom. It is to seek his righteousness. Nothing else must come before that as God's people. But what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? What does Jesus mean here? Well, it means to us exactly what it meant to the people that he called to be his followers when he was here on earth. And just think for a moment about who he was speaking to. We read the context, didn't we? That bit about worrying, where it says about, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, about your body, what you're going to wear. And he talks about the uselessness of worrying, the pointlessness of worrying. And I think it's really helpful for us just to remember the kind of life that these people were living. It was vastly different to ours. These people were living, and many of them would not have known what they were going to eat the next day. They wouldn't have had a full pantry. They wouldn't have had any food on the table. For them, it was a matter of life and death every day, just getting through. They didn't have two or three sets of clothes. Their concern was, well, not what am I going to wear today? You know, it was how am I going to survive? How am I going to manage? How am I going to exist? And Jesus says to those people who were living on the poverty line and below the poverty line, who had every reason to be concerned of how they were going to survive, he says to those people, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or what you'll drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Don't worry about your clothes. He says to them, I will look after them. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the things that you need will be given to you as well. Our problem is that we think we need far more than we really do. To help us, we need to have a spiritual mindset, to be thinking of God and his kingdom and his priorities far more than we do. You see, for us as followers of Jesus, the important thing is not whether we live. It's not whether we get to the end of this year or not. It's not a question of keeping alive. It's a question of honoring Jesus. It's a question of having him first. The promise that Jesus gives to us here is that he will give us enough to live for as long as he wants us to live. He promises to give us enough to survive and thrive, to be the people that he wants us to be. And when we allow ourselves to change our mindset from thinking, well, I need to have this and I need to have that. You see, these people, they couldn't even think about saving. They couldn't even think about having a pension. They couldn't even think about getting a new set of clothes. They didn't have the luxury of thinking, what fishing reel am I going to use? It was just literally getting through each day. And so much of our lives is taken up with these extra things. And the call of being a Christian, of being a follower of Jesus, is to be focusing ourselves on the things that are important to God. Whether we live or whether we die, it's that we live well. That we live to glorify Jesus. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. He will give you what you need to enable you to be and to do, to be the person that he wants you to be and do the things he wants you to do. And so that's where we need to be this year. Jesus said to his disciples, come and follow me. For them it meant leaving behind, risking all, committing all to follow him. It meant a change of priorities and a change of allegiances. It meant leaving their nets, leaving their former way of life, being with him, helping him, supporting him, learning from him. And the call to follow Jesus may not be quite as literal for us. It may be that there'll be very few of us, if any, where he would say, I want you to give up your job to follow me. But it may be that some of you, that's what he'll be wanting you to do. He doesn't ask us to move necessarily to follow him. But he does call us to have a change in our priorities. He calls us to have a change of direction. To follow Jesus is to let him take the lead in our life. It is to let his priorities become our priorities. To let his loves become our loves. To let the things that he hates become the things that we hate as well. It means letting him be our teacher. That's really important. Because the disciples of Jesus' day called him their rabbi, their teacher. He was the one that they sat and they listened to. And they gradually changed to become like him. And he calls us to do the same. He calls us to be his pupils, to listen, to learn from him. And so it's changing this year. The call for us is no different from last year, or the year before that, or the year before that if we were Christians. It's the same call. But it's a great time for us to stop and think, actually, what is my life about? What are my priorities? What are my goals for this year? What does it mean? What does it mean in practice? What would it look like to seek first? You see, in those two little words, seek first. First is about priority, above everything else. But seeking. It doesn't just say go into this year and let it happen if it happens. Just go with the flow. You know, kind of let it happen. He says seek. Just be intentional about it. Go and look for it, strive for it, desire it. And I think that lack of desire, that lack of, you've heard me use the word before, intentionality, where it's something we specifically go to do. The lack of that is one of the reasons why sometimes as Christians we become disappointed and disillusioned with our Christian life. Because we stop seeking, we stop being proactive, and we kind of just expect God to do things for us. We expect him to bless us. We expect him to watch over us. We expect him to give us the things. He says, seek first. The promise is to those who seek. Who go looking for, who are proactive. Rather than just seeing it as an optional extra. Something that will fit in. We will not know the peace and the joy and the provision of the Lord if we kind of just wait for it to happen. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you as well. And so that's a big challenge for us as we enter the year. It's a big aim. And I'm just going to give us time here to pause and think and look at our lives if he's really first. So just in the quietness, what's number one thing for you? What's the most important thing for you as you go into this year? I don't want you to tell me, but I want you to think in your own heart. Are you really seeking and desiring and yearning for him and his rule in your life? Will you put that above everything else? Is he the number one priority in your life? If not, then this is a good time just to pause and say sorry. And to say to him that that is how you want it to be, and that you're willing to make any change necessary for that to happen. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So the Spirit searches us this morning, each of our hearts, and he says, who's number one? What's the most important thing for us? What are the priorities? What are we aiming for this year? What's your goal? What's your target? If we're going to put Jesus first, what would it look like? Let me just take you through three or four very practical things that will help us measure this. You see, to seek his kingdom, to seek his righteousness will mean that you look for his control and rule in your life. That kind of sums up what I've been saying so far. It means to strive and try as hard as you can to let him set the goals and the standards and the priorities in your life. Gonna need that water back again in a minute. Where do we find those things? Well, we'll discover them in the Bible, don't we? So you're going to be seeking Jesus and his priorities. To get those, you're going to be looking in the Bible. So one of your priorities this year will be to be reading the Bible. Can I have that one? Exchange is no robbery, is it? Seeking Jesus, you'll do that by finding it in the Bible. So reading the Bible, looking at the Bible, learning from the Bible will be equally as important. Reading the Bible should never be a chore. And if you're starting this year and reading the Bible is something you do or something that you don't do, it should never be like that, because this is God's word. This is where he speaks to us. He's our captain, he's our leader, he's our teacher. If we're intentional about him teaching us, then we need to be reading this regularly, don't we? Let me encourage you. You know, when you pick your Bible up, say, Lord Jesus, will you teach me from here? Show me something about yourself. Show me something about myself. Just teach me something. And you only need maybe to read a couple of verses. We're not talking about reading a chapter. I'd advocate reading as much as you can. But even if it's a couple of verses, always read it with an eye. Lord, would you teach me something about you, something about me? And you'll find it there. And by the Holy Spirit, he will teach you. So if you're putting him first, you're going to be loving your Bible. You're going to be reading it. You're also, here's the third thing, you're going to have a desire to meet regularly with his people. You're going to enjoy the company of other Christians, people with the same values, people with the same priorities, people who will encourage you, people who will support you. And it's not just about what you can get from them, it's also what you give to others. I think we all know what it's like to be in church and be disappointed because somebody that we're looking forward to seeing isn't there. Our absence affects other people. So it's not just about me, it's about what we give to others. Let me tell you, when you're not here, we miss you. When you're not here, I miss you. When you're not here, there's an empty chair. When you're not here, somebody is thinking, oh, they don't care very much. Where are they? What are they thinking about? Maybe not nastily, maybe not judgmentally, but they'll be disappointed. Let me encourage you, if you're seeking first the kingdom, you're going to be wanting to encourage your brothers and sisters. You're going to be wanting to be with them. You're going to be wanting to support them. So church on Sunday will be a high priority for you. It won't just be something that you do when it's convenient, when there's nothing else, when there's no other priorities. You see, if we fit our coming to church around other things, then we're really saying those other things are more important. Let me encourage you, If you're putting Jesus first, then put his church first, because Jesus died for his church. Church is hugely priority for Jesus. Let me encourage you to put him first. Because if you're not putting church first, you're really not putting him first. And that will mean ordering your week around it. I'll be really practical on this. It will mean doing some things on a Saturday so that you've got time to get to church on a Sunday. It might mean doing things on a Saturday that otherwise you'd leave for a Sunday. It might mean changing what you eat on a Sunday. You know, in the olden days, they used to have their Sunday roast on a Saturday very often so that they could be in church on a Sunday. I have to be honest, and I hope this doesn't offend. It disappoints me when I hear people saying, I can't come to church because I've got to cook the dinner. What is number one there? Is it our stomach or is it Jesus? I say it in love. It's about our priorities. And as we go into this year, we must keep Jesus as number one. So we're going to have we're going to let him rule us. We're going to be reading the Bible because that's where he teaches us. We're going to be wanting to meet with other people. And of course, we're going to want to talk to him. We're going to want to pray to him because, well, that's what you do when you're a friend of somebody, isn't it? It's what you do when you want to, you know, when you love someone, you care for them, you talk to them, you tell them about yourself, you tell them what's on your mind. You've got to tell Jesus because he's the one, he says, come to me, you who are burdened and heavy laden. My yoke is easy. So you've got to go to Jesus. You've got to talk to him about the things that trouble you because he cares for you and he wants to help you. He wants to give you his peace. He wants to give you his contentment. He wants to give you his joy. But you won't experience that if you're not talking to him. So talk to him. Pray to him. You're going to want to become like him. If you're seeking first the kingdom, you're going to want to become like Jesus. You see, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness is his purity. His righteousness is his goodness. You are going to want to become like him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 is very clear on this. It says that God's purpose in calling you is that you might become holy and blameless in his sight. What's your purpose on earth? Why has God called you? We could talk about 101 things, but it comes down to this. God's ultimate desire for you is that you would become holy and blameless in his sight. So you're going to start to grow to dislike your old way of life and the sins that you committed. In fact, you'll probably find yourself saying more and more, like the Apostle Paul, "O wretched man that I am." You'll have a growing dissatisfaction with the way that you speak and the things that you think and the things that you desire, because you're wanting to be like Jesus and you're seeing a disparity between yourself and Jesus. Listen, let me tell you this. That sense of dissatisfaction, rather than being a bad sign, is a good sign. Because before you were a Christian, you didn't worry, did you? When you were backslidden, you don't worry about what you're doing. When the Spirit of God is at work in your life, you'll start to have a conscience. You'll start to be aware of the things that are different in your life to Jesus. And you will have a sense of disappointment. You'll have a sense of frustration. That isn't a sign that you're not saved. It's a very good sign, and it's a sign that you almost certainly are saved. Or at least if you're not saved, that he's calling you and he wants you to be saved. So respond to it. Nearly done. If we're seeking first the kingdom, if his number one priority, you're going to want to let him rule your life. So you're going to want to read the Bible. You're going to be desiring to be with other Christians. You're going to be talking to him. You're going to be desiring to become like him. And lastly, you're going to want his kingdom to grow and his influence to grow. Not just in your own life, but in others as well. So you're going to have what I would call a mission heart. You're going to be thinking about other people. You're going to want other people to know him and trust him and follow him as well. You're going to have a heart that thinks not just about yourself, but reaching out to others. You're going to have a desire to be introducing other people to Jesus, locally in this community and around the world. You're going to be praying for missionaries. You're going to be praying for those who are working. You're going to be seeking to have conversations with people to tell them about Jesus because you're seeking his kingdom. You're going to be wanting the king to extend his kingdom more and more. What might that mean for us in reality? Does it mean that we all have to stop our jobs, give up our jobs and kind of become full-time Christian workers? I don't think it does. Does it mean that we're going to have to stop and join a monastery? Well, sometimes we might wish we could. But actually, it's about letting him have priority in our lives in the everyday things. If you're caring for someone, it's about caring in the way that Jesus would care. Unstintingly, with love and grace and compassion. If you're a parent, it's about being the best parent that you can be. It's about becoming like Jesus and modeling Jesus to your children. It's about putting his priorities first and encouraging your children and leading them to love Jesus. It's about speaking, always speaking well of Jesus at home. That's putting him first. For those of us who are at work and are employees, it's about being the best employee that we can be. Being honest, trustworthy, on time, not going home, not shirking and doing the least that we can do for the most amount of money. It's about honoring Jesus in the way that we work and react and act at work with our work colleagues. Maybe you're none of those things, but most of you would be a neighbor to someone. It's about being a neighbor that's good and thoughtful and kind and compassionate. Being a good example, showing and sharing love and gentleness and thoughtfulness of Jesus. It's about praying for them, telling them about your Sunday. When people say to you, "What did you do at the weekend?" I wonder how often you enthuse about church on Sunday. You know, when you go to work on Monday morning, I say, "What did you do?" "Oh, I went to church." Do you just leave it at that? Or maybe your neighbour says, "Oh, have a good weekend. Do you have a good Christmas? Will you tell them how much Jesus means to you? Will you tell him how much, you know, grateful you are? Will you talk about Jesus? Or is it just like, well, yeah, I didn't really do much. Cut the grass, washed the car, went to see a bit of family. Let's talk about Jesus, seeking his kingdom, seeking his righteousness. So what does the Lord ask of us this year? It is just to follow him. It is to be devoted to him. It is to let him have number one priority in our lives. It's not complicated, is it? It's what it means to be a Christian. It's a follower of Jesus, learning from him, just doing the basics, so that, going back to that little fishing analogy that we talked about earlier on, that we will be attractive and that Jesus then will do his work. Because we can't save anybody, can we? We can't change lives. That's him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of Jesus. As we set him before in our words and our actions and our daily lives, he will do that work that we can't do. And that will be for his praise and for his glory. My prayer is that this year he'll help us to do that. That we will grow as Christians, will grow to be like Jesus, and his kingdom will expand as his rule takes more control of our individual lives and of us as a church, and more people get to hear about him. Let's sing a song and then we'll